Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We're also simulcasting on eSETI Stargate on YouTube. And we've got Kate Awakening with us again, and she's got a YouTube channel, and it's seen by a bazillion people. And she's also going to be speaking here at the conference coming up here on the 23rd. So we've got a lot going on, and I couldn't think of a better person to bring on the show to talk about all the latest events. There's so many things going on. And we're going to try to shed a little wisdom on what's happening and a little common sense, which is not very common right now, to kind of bring people up to par, you know, on what to look for and what's unfolding in the...
Come on. You are fake news.
Fake news.
Okay, you're fake news.
Somebody gave me this little fake news button, so I had to push it. But anyway, so Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you, James. Thank you for having me. Yet again.
Yeah, there's so many where I, you know, let's get into this whole Black Lives Matter, all the other stuff going on, Antifa and everything. I want to just jump into that because it is affecting the people here in Seattle, and they've taken over the main town and city, and it's insane. Everybody's bending a knee to them, just saying you can have everything, you know, and it's starting to look like, instead of white privilege, is starting to look like black privilege to me. You know, if I did that, you know, I'd be in jail, handcuffed, and throw away the key, you know. So,
it seems to be more Antifa, and I'm seeing a majority of white people actually in this this Chaz area. What is it, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone?
Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of really, I actually came up with Pakratistan today. and oh my gosh, did you see the farm that they're trying to create?
No.
It is amazing. It is so good. Oh my gosh. I have not laughed that hard in a really long time. I guess they put down cardboard and like threw some topsoil on it, and they threw a few plants in it. This is their farm. Like, meanwhile, in 3 months they might have like 3 salads.
Yeah.
And some of the plants aren't even taken out of the little plastic container. They're just like in the dirt in that. It is unreal. And it's hard not to laugh, you know. It's hard not to laugh at just the ridiculousness of this, whatever they are trying to do. But I also understand how frustrating and annoying and it would be to live in Seattle and be around this right now and see this happening to your city. I mean, they're literally just like taking things over. It's one thing to have a breakaway society and you create your own, you know, you build your own structures, you have your own irrigation, you put together, they're like, they literally just stole things.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's what we did. We broke away and created our own system here, and we're pretty self-sufficient and very high consciousness place here. And, you know, having masters appear here and, you know, all these other things and shifts because we did something right, you know. You know, people go, why don't we have contact? And I said, well, look at Seattle. You know, why would any enlightened, advanced race come here and have to deal with that? I mean, they're putting a big sign up saying, we're not ready.
No. You know, we're still primitive. It's like that meme with the alien saying, lock your doors. Lock your doors as we go through this neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was some of the things I saw there, I mean, I took some notes on here, but, you know, what I was seeing is bricks and wire baskets being delivered, you know, and, you know, this is all orchestrated. These people are being played and they don't realize it. They're being set up. And to me, the way I feel is everybody should be judged on character, you know. It's like, you know, you look at that, like a lot of the white hat movements and the Q movements, you know, they're colorblind. There's no color in there. They all want the same thing. They want to be able to feed their families. They want freedom. They want to be able to make connection with their own creator in their own unique way, whatever that is. They want the freedoms that are offered to America. And, you know, this experiment happening here for a couple hundred years is like nowhere else. And, you know, I look at other countries and I go, you know, the awesome thing about America is you're free to leave. You know, some other countries you can't, you know, so, you know, you want to go try Venezuela, you want to try North Korea, you want to try China or whatever, go for it, you know, and go have your your movement there, see where that goes, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you'll end up, you know, very quickly, you know, in a cage and you know, they don't mess around with that stuff. So, I mean, only in America could this happen, I swear, you know?
It is an absolute immature mentality. It's a tantrum that we're watching. You know, I liken this to when I was a kid and I used to run away, but I would hide in the pantry. And like, it would all lose its luster when my mom would be like, can you hand me the spaghetti? You know, they knew I was in there. But just, yeah, this is, go try this somewhere else is actually a very good point.
Well, the thing that bothers me about it is that, you know, these guys in there, they have this rage and they want to vent it, but it doesn't match their message, you know, and they're saying, you know, Black Lives Matters, you know, and, you know, they destroyed apartments with children in them, you know, owned by African-Americans. They destroyed businesses of every color, every race. You know, what's going on there is like, only the rage matters. Like, it doesn't matter, black, red, white, yellow, pink, whatever color you are. They're just raging, and their message doesn't make any sense. And then when you add Antifa and Black Lives Matters together, you know, and then I look at too, what about the police that were shot? You know, what about the policemen that were killed during this thing? Do cops' lives matter? I guess not, you know. You know, they were is in the wrong place at the right time. And you know, they may have had a whole life of service. You know, you look at these guys that were killed, you go, these were just family men, you know. They really were in their community trying to do the best they could to keep people safe. And how is that okay? I mean, and then the news is saying, oh, this is okay. They're just expressing themselves. It's part of America revolting, you know, and things like that. And I go, no, you're revolting against America, and you're harming people that don't deserve this. I mean, they're not even involved in it. And one thing I want to say too about taking a knee, you know, I'm not going to take a knee, and I don't want anybody else to take a knee. I don't want anybody to take a knee in front of me. I don't want any of this stuff. I want us all to be equal and judged on character, basically. And I see all this stuff where these people are doing all these things and stuff like that. And I go, if you're serious, if you're really serious, and you want to help, go in there and buy them, you know, go pay for their groceries, you know, send them a meal, you know, help them cover their utilities. You know, all this other talk and posting a little black square and doing a blackout and all this other stuff, that's not action. That's just fashionable, you know. That's right. Fashionable. If you really want to do something, you know, go there, put the food in their hand, put the money in their hand, just say, hey, how you doing? You know, are you making ends meet? You know, what do you need to cover, you know, to get you through this month or whatever? And, you know, something like that, you know, let's get a movement like that. Put everything back together, you know, restore the businesses of the people that lost their businesses, you know, that lost everything, you know, in some fires, you know, that's where this needs to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to, for us all to understand how inorganic the Black Lives Matter movement is, and Antifa and all of this. And so you get essentially good people involved, because this is kind of what that side does, the whatever you want to call them, the cabal, is they'll take something that you know, they put a face on it. They put a plaque on it. That's something that really everybody should be able to get behind, right? Like Black Lives Matter. Yes, everybody agrees that Black people's lives matter, or feminism, or, you know, whatever it is. And they make it into something that it isn't, but they use it as a line in the sand to say, well, oh, if you're not with us, then you don't think that Black Lives Matter. And that's not the truth. And, you know, there's so many different places, so many different ways I could go with this, but essentially, you know, the Antifa part of it is so massive, because, you know, you do get good people that are just, they're getting sucked into it. Obviously the media is very much complicit in this. We are shown what we're shown on purpose, and it is in order to create outrage. It is in order to create divide between people. it inflates what they want us to, you know, think is awful. And so it really is the worst of the worst. And then you get good people sucked into that because they have caring hearts and they just really don't understand what's going on in the world. And then you bring in Antifa, who is literally paid to be provocateurs, smash windows, start fires, start fights, all of this stuff. And I'm seeing video upon video of all kinds of good people and mostly Black people that are there saying, what are you doing? This is not our message. Chill out. This is like, this is a peaceful protest. We're here for a reason. They are totally taking it over.
Yeah, no, you see people that own, you know, African-American people that own these businesses that said, this is my business. I'm African-American. What the hell are you doing? Or I'm Black. I don't even know what's kosher anymore to say. But, you know, I just listened to a guy who said that Africa was really, some conqueror went there named something Africanus, and that's how they got the name. And they're not even Africans. They need to go back to their original roots and find out the name of the continent before that, you know. But, you know, it keeps changing. Everything keeps changing, you know, and you got to stay in step with what's new. But anyway, I'm pretty colorblind. I see just people as people, and then I judge them by their character, you know. If somebody's screaming in my face and calling me out and blaming me and calling me all kinds of names, no, I'm not going to make friends with them. You know, I might try to calm them down and say, look, I don't know you. I haven't done anything. You know, I haven't done any of this. I would never do this, and it's not part of my nature. And so, and also too, I wanted to say something too. When you're awake, you realize that you've been everything. I mean, you've been Black, yellow, red, you've been everything. I have full memory of all my past lives, and I remember being a slave in one lifetime. And I understand, you know, and even that lifetime, although I was a slave, I was treated pretty cool. I was really mellow. I was at my feet in the mud, you know, and it's sunny and warm. I was growing corn and things like that. And so, you know, I was taken care of, you know, I wasn't really abused. It was, and I'm not saying that happened. There's some really nasty stuff that happened in slavery. It should never happen. But I overcame it. Mentally, I overcame it. And because I overcame it and I was holding a frequency, I wasn't mistreated. And so I think about that. Does the wounds of the past, is it creating the mistreatment? And what, and if you come at somebody when you're really wounded and angry, you're going to get that same feedback from them. If they start projecting all that stuff on you, you're going to react in that way. Mm-hmm. And so this whole thing of stewing up all this anger and hatred and separation and division just creates more of it. It doesn't, there's no solution there.
Right. Well, I like to say that racism is a pendulum. It shouldn't be. We should stop it right in the middle. It's not right either way. But you're right that there is a lot, there is a wound there. We do have to, we have to acknowledge that. Obviously, when we look at what has happened to us as a world and how these elite people have kept us all as slaves, essentially, and we've all been kept repressed and, you know, obviously at different levels. You know, Black people in this country have had plights that we haven't, but we have to look at it as like triage almost. And yes, that's something that needs to be, you know, fixed, addressed, whatever, but if we fix the real problem, which is are the people at the top, which are keeping us all in this position, then we can really fix something. By getting rid of police, you're not fixing anything. You're just creating a bigger problem, because the problem really isn't at that level. It is, you know, several levels above that.
Yeah, well, we look at the left, you know, and they're the ones orchestrating this, and they're being paid by other people like Soros and the other Illuminati folks they're totally in bed with those guys. And, you know, at one time I was kind of like a libertarian. There was a time that, and now I'm embarrassed to say that, you know, because it meant something else in the past. It meant you're really for liberty, you're for the Constitution, you're for the, and now it's something totally different. You know, it's, you know, equality, everything. But the, you really look at that, how that's coming down. And then you look at the history of the Democratic Party, which not saying all Democrats, but the history of the Democratic Party, they were the party of the Ku Klux Klan. they, for 30 years, they fought against women's suffrage, you know, giving women the vote and equal rights and everything else. They have a horrible track record with, you know, freeing the slaves. The Republicans actually freed the slaves, not the Democrats. And, you know, you look at the history, and ever since then, they've been twisting this and reversing it and saying, we're the saviors. We're the saviors of the Mexican, the Black, and everything else. But if that's true, what have they done?
Right.
You know, who have they saved? What have they... Look, we're in the same boat. When are we going to break? You know, the thing about what Einstein said, you know, a form of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Right.
Well, when are people going to go, well, wait a second, you've made all these promises. You've had control. Obama had control for 8 years. What the hell did he do? Clinton, you know, what did they do? More people got thrown in prison. There's, you know, it's like than have ever been done. And so, it's that, and people get, and it's hard to break out of that conditioning, that social engineering that people are stuck in, and to realize that their saviors are really their persecutors. Their saviors are their enslavers. And, you know, people like Candace Owen and people like that are coming out. There's a lot of people that are just ripping on this and calling out the history and what's really going on, and you know, which is great, but I'd love to see more of them, and just to get out of these polarities, you know, the separation that they're trying to do, and that is the game. The game is divide and conquer, basically.
Right, and to erase history, and it's interesting now seeing them pulling down these statues of, you know, people from history that owned slaves, et cetera, because most of them were Democrats. And so that's why this is being allowed to happen, is because, yeah, they're pulling down these statues. Of course, that's what they want on that side, because they want to erase that part of history. I love when people say, you know, what was a Democrat is now a Republican. Like, at some point they switched places. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you've got these lines going along like this and they swap places, there's obviously a day in which that happens. There's a point in which those two meet. And I'm like, when was that? Like, can you point to that date? Because that's really interesting. It just isn't true. They just want to erase history because it keeps us, you know, it keeps us controlled.
Well, I mean, their motto basically is, you know, keep them poor, keep them sick, and keep them ignorant, basically.
Yeah.
And that's the model of the New World Order, basically. And that's the model. And a lot of Democrats have been caught saying that, you know.
And,
yeah. You know, you look, Clinton was caught saying that. But, you know, if you think they're really, if the Black Lives Matters, you know, look at Haiti. You know, look at what, do you really think they gave a damn about Haiti? They got billions of dollars and just pocketed it and paid for weddings and things like that. I mean, out of that money,
exactly.
Do you really think Black Lives Matters to these people? It doesn't.
Well, so one of the things that Q just pointed out was that was the organization of Black Lives Matter, and what happens when you know, you donate your money to Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And it goes into something called Act Blue, and it's showing what the surplus of money goes to. And it was like $1.8 million to the Bernie Sanders campaign, over $1 million to the Biden campaign, all of these different things. And you can see where this money is going to. It's obviously political. It's obviously Democrat driven. But I love that somebody pointed out with all of that money, they could have freed every slave in Libya.
Mm-hmm.
And that is incredibly eye-opening, I think. You know, do you really care about people, or are you just, is this just political?
No, it's all power and wealth. Basically, they want to keep the power. If those in power get the wealth, and on and on and on. Now, I've heard some things. I have some sources, basic, and they said some indictments were handed out, and some people got multiple indictments and things like that just recently. And some people just tore them up and threw them on the floor and walked away. That's how bold these people are. They think they're, nothing can happen to them, you know? So, you know, we'll see where that goes. I've also heard, I just got somebody sent me a YouTube video where, I'm not sure what her name is, and she's saying all these people have been arrested, they've been killed, they've been, you know, suicided or whatever. They've been given the choice, you know, that you can either suicide yourself or you know, taken out. So anyway, but they had this big list. And what really bothers me about that is there's false hope. And they're saying all you're seeing now is clones. You know, that is a possibility, but I've been hearing these things for so long. They say this person has been arrested. This person has been hanged for treason or whatever. This person, they're gone. They've been executed, you know? And you know, I've been seeing that for so long, but nothing's changed. The people are still up there. And if it is a clone, they're just as screwed up as the original person. You know, I'm really not seeing any change in that. So I always tell people, yeah, I see that and I go, where's the beef? You know, where's
exactly.
The meat? You know, where's
exactly.
You know, show me the body, you know, show me the autopsy or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I saw that a lot too yesterday. I was seeing it mostly on Twitter. And the interesting thing is I was seeing it pushed by all accounts that were created last month. So you've got a couple things going here. You've got, one is that, you know, people that are new to this, you've been around, you've been awake for a long time. So I can't imagine how tired you must be of seeing stuff like this. I've only been seeing this for like 2 years and I am like, just, I am so done with it. But, you know, I used to fall for it too in the beginning. I was like, oh, it's happening. Every other day, it felt like it was happening because I would see something that was like not substantiated. And so you've got good people that fall for stuff like that and start spreading it. But I really do believe that there is, you know, we've got people actually spreading that disinformation on purpose or giving us that in order to, like, what does it, it makes us look stupid. It makes us impatient. It really sucks the new people in. And then when they see it not pan out, then they're done with it. Then they get tired of it. They're like, oh, this whole thing must not be real then.
Yeah, a lot of those things are planned opposition. You know, they're controlled. It's a controlled narrative. It's a false narrative, and everybody jumps on the bandwagon, and then they collapse, and everybody goes, "Oh," and they just go back. Okay, I'm just gonna go back and shop now. You know,
You know, they Amazon. Totally,
they totally lose it. I don't know. I'm wondering about. I kind of warn people about it. You know, like, you know, things are happening. Things are unfolding. They're going to unfold in the right time. There's things that have to play out, and so you have to be patient. But I think in the end, you know, we get our country back. You know, and we go through a huge awakening, a big shift, and that's the way I've always seen it. I don't know exactly every detail of how that's going to unfold, but I know, you know, I love that saying: "In the end, Creator wins." You know.
Yeah. Exactly. It's already determined, but we are watching it pan out. And really, yes, I know we get impatient and it seems like it's taking forever, but this is actually very quickly when you realize what was at stake and what had to be dismantled in order to even reach where we are right now.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable.
Well, you know, when they would talk about these Nasara, it used to be Nasara and now it's Jasara and things like that. I mean, they've been talking about these things in the 70s and they're saying, you know, your check's in the mail, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. And you're going, whoa, okay. And they still say the same story. And I go, at what point do you say, you know, you need a new story. You need a different story. And I do believe those things are real. I think the paperwork's there and everything else, but I always tell people you're really underestimating the dark side, you know, this deep state thing. You have no idea how deep it is, how controlled it is, you know, how powerful it is, how much money these guys have. And I just don't think somebody's going to flip the switch and overnight everybody's, you know, going to be doing the kumbaya thing and have $1 billion in their pocket. You know, it's going to take time.
Right. Well, we all have hope for things like that, but it would make sense that it would be kind of, it's the limited hangout thing where they'll give you so much information or they'll keep you baited on something in order to, you know, keep you interested, but in order to keep you away from the real information or in order to keep you away from doing the thing that is going to actually let you, you know, like unifying and coming together and working toward, like if we were all really educated on what was going on, then we would probably be able to work together more, you know, effectively to make those things happen.
I know they've infiltrated everything from at the top of everything and they control the narrative almost everywhere, you know, except for citizen journalists like yourself and other people. And to one degree or another, you know, I watch Fox News now and then, and I just go, well, they're giving us most of the story, but they're they really won't get on the hard points and ask the hard questions. And every once in a while, one of them does. You know, and I was looking at this thing, you know, this whole thing with Floyd and George Floyd. I go, which George are you following? Are you working for George Soros or George Floyd?
Because, right.
You know, it's like the deal. But here's some things. I have a nurse right here, an ER nurse here with me right now. And we were talking about this and it was really funny. So these are the questions we have when we look at that film. Basically is that, you know, the EMS response, you know, there was no neck brace. Here, this guy's had a knee on his neck. His neck's been smashed. You know, there's no neck brace, no back brace, no backboard, you know, to put him on it, you know, like this. There's no pulse check, no breathing, you know, assessment. None of that was done. You know, you didn't see any of that happening. And, you know, she's trained in advanced cardiovascular life-saving techniques, you know. And so, and, you know, I was looking at this, and you get somebody that knows what they're doing that's in that business. They go, this smells like a rotten kettle of fish, you know, and they're looking at it. And then my biggest question is, where are his legs? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I saw that.
Okay, I don't know if that's CGI, they're saying it's not or anything else, but what's so weird is that Siemens has a dummy that looks just like Floyd, exactly like Floyd, that they use for practice, you know, for life-saving techniques, things like that, or hospitals. And I guess that company got burned down too. Everything got burned down. All their dummies that look just like Floyd got destroyed, you know? So,
it's so weird. There are so many different levels, and yeah, you're absolutely right. Every medical person that I have talked to about this, and I had a friend that posted it, he's got a huge account on Twitter. He was like, can somebody just tell me, like, if that's in the medical field, if this would ever happen? And every single person says, no, they don't try to resuscitate him. They don't try CPR. They don't check his pulse. They don't hold his, I mean, he's flopping around when they put him up on the gurney. Yeah, where are his legs? Lots of things that don't add up. Like, I've seen video footage from the other side of the street, and there's nobody on the sidewalk in front where supposedly we're supposed to be seeing the video, the original video of the people yelling at the cop. The funeral where they like hoist this golden coffin up on their shoulders and are dancing around with it, and some like 200 and something pound man inside. It's just like, it makes no sense. It's crazy.
And the guy, and the coffin is built for like somebody that's about 5'7" or something.
Yeah.
Like that. It's not a 6'7" coffin. You know, did they get the cheaper deal and bend his legs back and like, close no casket idea. Too?
I was half expecting them to saw it in half. I mean, I was like, what is this?
What am I watching? Well, you know, I don't want to sound disrespectful to if this possibly did happen the way right. they did and things like that. But, you know, these questions need to be asked. You know, there were so many things. Now I was just sent another guy, and I forget his name. I should have written down his name. And I just watched, and I tried to find it again. It's gone. But this guy showed that same cop, like at Sandy Hook and at Boston Marathon. And I guess they're all crisis actors. Even Floyd was what at one time was a crisis actor. And so you're looking at these guys, and they had iron-on badges that were like iron-on, and they're ironed on the wrong way. And they weren't real badges, you know. It was just like everything, they really messed up. I mean, they had, you know, it's like
are they even trying?
I guess they just figure that people just take the bites and will accept it, and nobody will use any critical thinking or really look at it. And
look at Building 7.
Yeah. You know, and again, I have total respect. I mean, all lives matter. Anybody that gets killed, I don't care what color you are or whatever, if you're killed by abuse, that needs to be addressed. And there are events that happen. And there's a lot of cops that have been killed, you know, because they hesitated, you know, and, you know, or they tried to save somebody or tried not to harm somebody, and they ended up getting harmed themselves. So there's both sides of it. You know, there's both sides of the equation, you know, that we need to look at. And I think we need to take a balanced approach to it. But that, you know, just seeing those pictures of the same guy, it's the same guy. It's the same cop. And he's got a, iron-on badges, and I guess they make a new badge for whatever place they're in and iron them on, and then they do their acting. But you look at the guy's face when he's kneeling on him, and the guy's showing no emotion, no, yeah, your adrenaline's all pumped up in those situations. You're intense and you're focused. You're focused on that guy not getting up and taking you out, basically. And right. All the cops are standing around with their hands in their pockets. You know, what? I mean, well, that's real. An intense event. What? That doesn't make any sense. The way they behave makes no sense whatsoever.
Right. And actually, the black cop, which was holding his torso down, I think would be just as, if not more, responsible for his death, because if he wasn't on him, he would have been able to struggle free or get free, but he was being held down from his torso. Oh, I'm sorry. That guy was, one of the guys was holding his legs, and then there was another cop holding his torso. So you had three men holding him down, but if you didn't have those other men holding him down complicit in this, then, you know, he might be alive.
Yeah. Yeah. If that was a real person, right. You know, I'm not sure, but I mean, you can see the blanket, and the blanket, it kind of flies up, and you see the photograph, and you know, you go, where is his leg? So I just think about, you know, if you look at that, this is the firestorm that created all of this mess. You know, all this mess. This is the kingpin, you know. You pull that out, what happens? The whole narrative crashes. It all falls. And mm-hmm. I really think, you know, I bet that guy's somewhere in the Caribbean, you know, drinking margaritas or something. You know, who
well,
knows?
And you had the same exact event the same week happen in, what was it, Belize and Paris. You had white cops kneeling on a young black man's neck. So it just seems completely coordinated, you know, now, because when I started to see the Black Lives Matter stuff spill into, you know, Europe and stuff, I was like what is happening? Why do they care about, you know, supposed police brutality in the United States? And then I hear they've got their own cases of the exact same thing. It's just like, come on. Really?
Yeah, it's a world thing. You know, I really think about, you know, people need to take this seriously, because Soros, who is the main funder behind all of this stuff, he said one of his greatest achievements is going to be taking down America. That's his own words, you know, to take down America. He's taken down a lot of other countries, and other countries want a piece of him, basically. And which he's got some stuff going on in the world courts. But, you know, you look at that, and then he also says, I'm going to start with the blacks because they're easy to manipulate. That's his own words. I mean, that's not my thought process. That's their leader's process. You know, right. And to me, the guy looks like Darth Vader or something like that. He doesn't, you know, the self.
Man, the evil is just coming out of the
emanating
state.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, it's amazing. I think the people are selling their own people out that are getting involved in this, because they're, if you want to end that stigma, you know, if you want to end that stigma of being violent, of being destructive, of stealing and not being trustworthy and everything else, if you want to end that program, they're playing right into it. And they're creating a huge confrontation that is not going to turn out good in the end. You know, it's not going to be good for anybody. And they're getting handouts from the same people, and they're opening up. And what the governor of Washington, what she did, that was amazing. She goes, you know, opens, she goes, okay, look, no military, no, you know, we're going to leave all the doors open, no curfew, and she was setting it up for the White House to be overrun, you know, but.
Yeah, on a platter, here you are.
Yeah, here it is, on a platter, she set it up, and, you know, it's just ridiculous, but I think about, what about all the other lives that are being affected by this, you know, that's, why is anybody talking about that, you know, what about, you know, again, what about the families that lost everything, lost their homes, children, you know, their homes being burned, you know, of every color, every nation, you know, it's like all the destruction and everything. There's no reason for it other than to divide America, basically. There's really, you really look at it, it doesn't make, there's no logic to it. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever other than, unless you know the big picture and what the big goal is, and that's to take down America. And I always tell people, you know, you think it's bad here, you know, you need to go try some other countries and see how that works. You know,
right.
Go riot in another country, you know, go even demonstrate in another country, see what happens.
Right. Yeah, they've got everybody. I mean, all of the hostility and the destruction and everything really comes from, I mean, we know hatred and all of those ugly feelings really at the stem of it come from fear. And that's how they're controlling these people. They really do have them afraid. And that's how they have pitted us against each other this entire time, is that they convince people that, you know, they need to be afraid of their fellow man, that they're not going to be allowed or granted the same freedoms, or these people hate you. And so really never in my lifetime did I think that I would see so many people in our country that hated our country and wanted to see it burn to the ground. I mean, that is crazy. And it really does go to show these people have not traveled much, because it just can't be.
it doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, I look at it, I understand the rage and everything else, but, you know, rage is going to create rage. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is just excuses for not taking personal responsibility and healing and moving forward. And really, you know, there's all these opportunities out there. There's all these programs that have been set up to help these people, you know, and they weren't done by Democrats, you know, but.
Right. It's so nearsighted. You like this little city that they've set up, for example, they're already asking for people to bring things like pants and Gatorade and sunglasses and whatever, because they don't create anything. And they haven't thought this through. They just think, well, it's just going to appear. Somebody's going to make that, you know, somebody's going to make the, like, provide the goods and services. And we're just going to live in this, like, commune. It's completely laughable.
Yeah. With their little fruit baskets.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, they really need to go work on a farm and see. I mean, I have a farm, so I know what it takes, you know. Really big gardens here and everything else, and they're a lot of work. And these other, to feed America, the farms are massive, you know, to do that. There's a lot of science, a lot of know-how behind it and everything else. And I think these people need to get out more, you know, get out of the cities, maybe have programs to say, hey, work and learn on a farm, you know, learn a skill, or go see where your food comes from, and you know, we change everything too. We probably change the way our food is processed and everything else. But, you know, it's, I don't know. I just see this, and here's the thing that I look at: the very people that have created that have enslaved people through dependency, they've created the manufactured lack, they've held these, you know, everybody down, not just black, you know, all everybody down with the manufactured lack and the uneven dispersal wealth. All those people are the very people that are paying for this to happen.
Right.
And they want to create a socialistic state, which turns into a dictator, which turns into genocide. That's the history of socialism. It goes to communism, to a dictator, and then they take away the guns from everybody, and then they run out of food. So they want to isolate or condense all the money and all the wealth into just the hands of a few that are going to control it. And that's what socialism is. And then pretty soon the incentive's gone. People stop creating, they stop manufacturing. There's no incentive. And then they have food shortages. They have utilities start going off. You know, they have all these problems that come with that. And then the people, when they don't get what they need, end up revolting, and they can't do a proper revolution because they don't have any arms, because they took them away, and it ends up in genocide, you know. And that's where these people are being led to. And they're being led by the very people that have held them in darkness and enslaved them, that have kept them, you know, basically under their guise, and they want to keep them sick, poor, and stupid, you know. And those very people that's their agenda, they're serving. They're participating in their own enslavement. And they haven't figured this out yet. And it's just like,
It's so frustrating, but that's why I do what I do and you do what you do. This is why we're here. You know, we are here to help people see that, because once they see that, it's all over.
Yeah.
They can't keep doing this to us if we're all awake and we see their game.
Yeah, the curtain comes down, it's over. You know, they're going to see that Wizard's just got a bunch of levers and there's nobody else there.
Soros.
Yeah. She could make a meme, you know, the curtain going, Soros pulling his levers. You know? But, you know, I think somebody probably has done that already. I've seen that over and over. People keep doing, making great memes. But, you know, the thing I really want to emphasize is that people automatically think that we're against them, that we're, you know, because we are white, you know, that I'm part Cherokee myself. My grandmother's Cherokee, and, you know, but, you know, I'm white as well, but it's so what, you know, it's just, I look white. So automatically it's going to go against me, you know, and people don't realize that it's actually the opposite. It's like, we know, we see through all this stuff. We know what's going on. We're trying to help them wake up, you know, take back their power. And we're here to empower people through knowledge, through wisdom. And they don't see that. It's sad, but automatically they come up with an attitude and you go, I'm not your enemy. I never was your enemy. I've been you. I've been all of you, every race. I'm fully aware of all that. I want everybody to rise together. You know, I want us all to rise together. I want to end poverty. I want to end disease. I want to end all this. And we have the technology to do that right now. We have the cures. We have the way to create abundance. You know, we have replicators. You know, people don't even know that. You know, it's like we can turn water into fuel. You know, there's no problem with gas.
Yeah.
You know? That's a dinosaur technology, turning water into fuel. You know, we have anti-gravity where you don't even need tires. You know, we have counter-gravity where you can go 7,000 miles an hour instantly. You know, all that technology is on the planet right now, and that needs to be used to empower the people and free the people. And it's hard for people to wrap their mind around that because they've been in this slave pattern, you know, this people call it a prison planet, or they've been enslaved for so long, they don't even realize, wait a second, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this anymore. You know, here's the kicker. They don't realize the ones that have been enslaving them are the very ones that they're working for right now. They haven't flipped, you know, if these people were here to save them, to free them, to empower them, to, you know, take care of their needs and everything else, why hasn't it been done? You know, why?
Right.
You know, they had Clinton, they had Obama for 8 years. What has changed? You know, more people went to prison. There's more drugs on the street. There's more, you know, it's like, what's changed? And, you know, people go, you're a Trumpy or you're a Republican. I'm not a Republican. I'm a researcher, basically.
Yeah, it's good. But
when you do the research, you go, well, wait a second. This guy is taking care of business. This guy is calling it out. This guy is taking out the enslavers. This guy is taking out the deep state. This guy is creating programs that are going to pull people up out of the poverty, you know, and give them jobs and things like that. It's a process. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. And that's why they all hate him. And that's why the lamestream media is attacking him, everybody, because they're all owned by the same people. And I go, when are people going to figure this one out? You know, but I think they are, due to, you know, us and a lot of other people and citizen journalists out there that are blowing the whistle on this.
I am seeing the tides turning massively. I remember when I first got on the Twitter I have now, which I was, you know, I focused mainly on politics and stuff. Yeah. And I remember when I first got on there, the comments that were underneath Trump's post or, you know, the tide has turned, and you're seeing a lot of positivity now. You're seeing a lot of people wake up. You're seeing a lot of people start to question. And I think that is due to the, you know, perseverance by people to start standing up and state their opinions, because a lot of us, myself included, were watching from the sidelines, get other people getting dragged for stating the opinions that you believe in. You're like, oh, I better not say what I'm thinking because that's going to be me. But now we're all like, okay, well, if we can kind of collectively stand up. And I'm so grateful to people like you that have been awake for a long time and holding that space, because I can't imagine how difficult that must have been. Now it's like gearing up there. It's a lot safer, by the way, for me to do what I'm doing. Once upon a time, like even maybe 6 years ago, I think it would have been very dangerous for me to be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's, I want to reiterate that too, is that the, you know, all along, it's like, I love everybody, you know, it's like, even, you know, I do have bad humor right now, but it crosses all boundaries.
You know, equal opportunity, like, bad
humor.
Yeah,
we're multicultural bad humor. It doesn't matter. You know? But, and this whole PC crack thing is another form of enslavement. You know, it's like, you know, we need to get over ourselves. It's like, you know, the main thing I tell people is, look, this, you're in a multicultural meat suit. You know, your soul that's in a meat suit, that meat suit might be whatever, yellow, red, brown, black, whatever color that meat suit is, but you're a soul, and your soul came from source, God, creator, great spirit, whatever name you want to give it. And if you identify with that, that's where your power is. If you identify with the meat suit, that meat suit is not going to be around for much longer. You know, it's, and if you use that meat suit, it's going to be taken out. You know, if you put that meat suit in harm's way, end of program. If your identity is with that meat suit, you lost your identity. You know, you're going to have to start over. But we need to identify with the fact that we are eternal souls. We've incarnated many, many times, and start remembering, and maybe time to remember when we were black, or remember when we were red, or yellow, or whatever. You know, take the good out of that lifetime. What's the wisdom you gained from that experience? You know, even if it's just compassion, to understand, you know what it's like to be poor, to be enslaved, to be rich, to be all of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I
think everybody should do past life regression. Honestly, I just had one, not just, but I had one sometime this last year. And so many interesting things. And to get that perspective of, this is not, this little, you know, thing that I'm in is not me. I have a soul, and I was many different. Actually, I had a really cool one. I don't remember if I've told you this or not, but I was like a 9 foot tall black guy named Mbaktu. And I believe I was at the pyramids of Giza. Only it was lush, which makes no, like, green. It wasn't a desert, which doesn't make any sense to me. But I was a healer, and I was using this like blue light from the ground. And I had this staff, and there was this like rock, this like big slab that I would have people lay on, and I would use the staff and this blue light and like heal them. And it was very interesting. There were a lot of things. I mean, sometimes when you have a past life regression, you really remember it, but you don't, some things won't necessarily make sense because maybe our history is wrong, you know? So I'm experiencing this, but this doesn't go along with what I've been told. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe I knew you there because I was there as well. I remember having a chariot, and I had money. I had some money. I was part of some family. I don't know who. I was very tall and dark skinned, and wore the little tunic things that they wear or whatever. But I remember riding my chariot, and I had these two friends, and we're going to this other town where there's a lot of partying and kind of gambling and stuff like that. And my friend stabbed me in the back, took my money and my chariot, and left me for dead, you know, in these reeds where all this bumble grass is or whatever. And now when I go near that same type of grass, my sinuses, everything goes off, all these allergies. And I had to heal that to heal the allergies. And like I said, some people are thrown to lions, you know, they're allergic to cats, you know, they freak out around cats. There's other people, a lot of our allergies come from that, you know, our bodies are reacting to soul memory of, you know, and that's, there's cellular memory in your body where you've been all these things, and soul memory as well that your body's picking up and reacting to.
That's so interesting. I wonder if it has anything to do, I know once a woman gets pregnant and has a baby, sometimes you will actually, you'll get allergies that you never had. And I know that if you have a male son, or if you have a male child, they do leave some of their DNA. So I wonder if some of that is like imprinted in your DNA or something like that. I wonder if that there's any connection there.
And the soul merges with your soul too. So when you're together, you know, your souls are merged and you have access to both souls too as well. So it could be on that level as well. There's so much going on. I know when I got pregnant. No, I'm just kidding. but anyway, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's so much to science. Bruce Lipton's got some great, I love his, a lot of his work and a lot of things that he's done. You know, he has some great stuff, but just the epigenetics and everything. And this, you know, when you get into that and you get into cellular memory and then you have soul memory and I just think when people get out of all the drama that comes with the body and the cellular memory and the past life trauma, and you clear all that up, then everybody comes together as a soul. You know, you're not running these programs anymore. And that's where we need to get to. And that's what I think we need to focus on: healing, clearing out that trauma, the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions of past experience, give help to those that need help. You know, they shouldn't be in abject poverty. We don't need to do that anymore. This is what, 2020 now. We have the cure for the cold. We have the cure for everything. It can be done through energetics, and we can actually heal ourselves once we realize, you know, we have that ability to transmute anything. I mean, each cell has a bolt, and you have like 100 trillion volts in your body. And tell me that wouldn't fry a virus.
Right, right.
Activate that and see what happens, see what's left, you know. But yeah, you go back, hook into your divine blueprint, your perfect self, that you have that in your third body. And when you connect with that, you can reprogram, you know. But I mean, there is a bit of a war. There's a little bit of a war going on between the physical body you inhabit. It has cellular memory, and then you have your soul, which has a program it wants to do. And so there's a little bit of battle, and then you have societal programming that's pushing it. There's social engineering, everything. It's like a real mess. And I think the only way out is to know yourself, to get out in nature, to meditate. You know, a lot of people had near-death experiences, come back out of it and they go, wow, I'm not this body. I'm not this. I'm a soul. I'm from spirit. You know, and you know, that's what Jesus taught basically. But if you want to go back to that, but you know, it's really, and that's what I see. It's all about healing consciousness, and then also getting needs to people that are less fortunate, you know, and these multi billionaires that are financing a lot of this crap that they're doing. Why aren't they going in there and feeding the people, helping people meet their needs, you know, helping them with their utilities? You know, why aren't they doing that? Why are they creating all this division and separation and sitting back and at, you know, fat cats at their tables? You know, it's like, come on, you know, you put your money where your mouth is. You have all this talk, but what are you doing?
Right. They're just megalomaniacs. I mean, they really don't care. They're sociopaths. They just don't care about humans. They don't think they don't feel like they are human. They feel like they're something else. They almost look at us like cattle. So yeah, they don't have that compassion for us.
Exactly. You know, we're coming up to the end of the hour. It's been great having you on the show as usual. But what's the best way for people to get in touch with your work on YouTube and whatever else you've got going?
So I really just operate off of my YouTube and Twitter. My YouTube account is called The Kate Awakening. That's my channel. And then my Twitter is Kate_Awakening. And I really urge people that if they aren't on Twitter to really get on there, because it really is a hub of where all of this information is unfolding right now. It's a necessary evil, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm on there so much.
Yeah. And also you'll be here as well. You'll be here speaking at the conference, and that's going to be great, because where else can you go and listen to these awesome speakers and then walk outside at night, look up and see ships yourself that are undeniable. Yeah. So it's amazing. You know, when it's your own experience, you know, you go back and people will try to make fun of you or whatever. And you say, no, I saw it, period. End of story. It wasn't a satellite, you know, wasn't a plane. It's an unknown. Whether it's ours or theirs, we're not sure, but I always people never forget ARV, you know, everybody goes, oh, that's ours. It's an ARV. And I go, ARV stands for alien reproduction. And that shut that story down right away. But But anyway, it's awesome having you on the show. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
All right, signing off, folks. James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the East Eddy Stargate. Have a great evening. You know, stay in the heart, basically. Keep, you know, open mind, pure intent. Stay in the heart. Keep a loving heart. That's all you need to do to get through this. And don't buy into all this separation game, because you're being played like a puppet. Don't be a puppet. Anyway, good night.